80s inland. 61 outside KSCO studios here in Santa Cruz on KSCO. It's time for the Saturday special.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know.
Well, folks, what should we do to save our Santa Cruz County Fair? There are a number of people who want to, in my estimation only, take control of that fair and take it away from you and I, the citizens of Santa Cruz County. That's the subject of this Saturday special with host Michael Zwirling, who is not here, but I'm here, Michael Olson in, and Michael will show up in a few moments, so stay tuned.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Is that special fanfare music then that means we're going to have a big shoot 'em up show today?
This is the one.
Well, if we're going to have a big shoot 'em up, I think that you and I are going to be the only ones shooting 'em up. Ricochet, so have you been to the fair?
I've been there Tuesday, Wednesday, went last night, and I'll go again tomorrow.
I'm trying to talk my lady into going tonight.
It'll be a good one.
It should be a good one. So how was the crowd last night?
It was awesome.
Good.
It was great.
Well, folks, and that's the subject of today's Saturday special, the Santa Cruz County Fair. We hope to have representatives of CAFA join us today to talk about why they want to, sue the Santa Cruz County Fair into oblivion. That's what it seems to be their objective. They have filed suit in Sacramento. They want us to adjudicate this issue in Sacramento. They don't want to take it to court here in Santa Cruz County. They want to take it to Sacramento, which means that if we want to fight them, we, the citizens of Santa Cruz County, we have to fight Sacramento. Interesting enough. I'm Michael Olson, hang around here at KSCO Radio for a number of years and work with the good crew here at Santa Cruz, at KSCO, Keep Santa Cruz Occupied Radio. Ricochet, you've been here a number of years now, huh?
Absolutely.
And so we here at KSCO kind of have got together an informal group of people who wish to support the Santa Cruz County Fair in its to survive. And that's the question today, is that can the Santa Cruz County Fair survive? So while we're waiting for Michael Zwirling to negotiate the traffic today, I thought what I would do is read to you the posting that I have on KSCO.com. We have a place there that we are actually encouraging you listeners to join us in the fight to save the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. We hope to be organizing a formal committee and launching an effort to do something to protect our fairgrounds. And so this is kind of how I pose the issue. Give it a listen. And the question of today will be, what can we as a community do to save our fairgrounds? So this is entitled The Wolves of CAFA. Like hungry wolves running down a buffalo in Yellowstone, environmental lawyers for the Community Alliance for Fairground Accountability, CAFA, are running down the Santa Cruz County Fairground outside of Watsonville. Naturally, wolves do not take on healthy prey, only vulnerable ones. So too do the environmental lawyers of CAFA, which is a good indication that our fairground is indeed vulnerable. The Santa Cruz County Fairground was not always vulnerable. For over 125 years, it was part of a large community of county fairgrounds sponsored by the great state of California. The fairground was the open space in which the citizens of Santa Cruz County could meet friends and neighbors, ride horses, race cars, show off animals and art, listen to music, get married, celebrate quinceañeras, eat fun foods, remember history, flirt with each other, ride scary rides, and so on, all under the benevolent protection of the state of California. But the state of California is not so great anymore. And so it must turn its fairgrounds loose to fend for themselves in the real world of hungry wolves. To survive, each county fairground must somehow find a way to pay for itself, and many are having an extremely difficult time of doing that, including our neighbors in Monterey, San Benito, and Santa Clara counties. When a fairground cannot fend for itself, it will likely be consumed by other entities, as witnessed by the Madera County Fairground, which is now being consumed by a 30-acre shopping center anchored by Lowe's. Our Santa Cruz County Fairground, which is directed and managed by entrepreneurial members of the community, is showing that it can survive by hosting attractions throughout the year. CAFA does not like these attractions and so has employed environmental lawyers to hound the fairgrounds with the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA, lawsuits. Thus, the county of Santa Cruz is now in a clear and present danger of losing its fairgrounds to the deep pockets of CAFA and their environmental lawyers. As a friend of the Santa Cruz County Fairground, I ask the following of CAFA and its lawyers. For what reason did CAFA member Max Kelly develop a mansion on Rancho Brazil Lane, which is a scant watermelon toss from the fairgrounds? Being a successful developer of this mansion, surely Mr. Kelly knows the first law of real estate, which is location, location, and location. Did the realtor who sold Kelly the property fail to notify him that the fairgrounds, a mere watermelon toss away, might produce an occasional noise and smell? Or did Mr. Kelly have another agenda in mind when he developed this property? What do you think out there? We have asked Mr. Kelly to join us today. Hopefully he will. I would like to know what he was thinking when he spent so much of his time and energy building up this beautiful Victorian mansion, just a scant watermelon toss from the backyard of the fairground. Did he not think that there would be an occasional noise and smell? What do you think? And question number two. As the wealthy founder of West Marine, which is one of our proud local institutions, CAFA member Randy Repass surely must know how to buy it low and sell high. How much higher would Mr. Repass's holdings in the hills above the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds be valued should those fairgrounds be put out of business and turned into an open green space or a commercial development? How much more would their value, their property be valued simply by getting rid of that noisy distraction down there? And question number three. Were not the Honorable Gary Patton and Jonathan Whitwer, the environmental lawyers retained by CAFA to hound the fairground with CEQA lawsuits, the same lawyers who became famous or infamous for preventing development in Santa Cruz County? Are these lawyers now accept money from wealthy developers like Kelly and Repass? What will the 253,133 residents of Santa Cruz County do for open space if these lawyers succeed in hounding their fairground to ground with CEQA lawsuits filed on behalf of a few rich landholders? Some will say our Santa Cruz County Fairground is too big to be taken down. They do not see the vulnerability of a state-protected institution being forced to fend for itself. But you can bet the wolves of CAFA see the vulnerability. And that is where we're at today, folks. And I just found a guest on. Will the guest? Let's see. I think I have you. Will the guest?
Shall I identify?
Whoops!
Myself?
I don't have it here. Just a second here. I'm working on it. Try that again.
Shall I identify myself?
Well, Rick will come in and push the right buttons for us here. Okay. There, I pushed the sliders down. We have all of these new gizmos, and I'm not quite sure how to use them. Okay, try that.
Hi, Michael.
There you go. Hi, Kay. How are you?
I'm good.
Now, where's that son of yours?
Frustrated. Yeah, Michael is stuck in
traffic.
Heavy, heavy traffic.
traffic.
I know.
Unfortunately.
You know, that, Kay, that people often complain about the traffic here, and they say that we should widen the freeways. But being in radio, I think we should narrow the freeways.
Okay.
That way people will be stuck in their cars longer and have to listen to us more, and I like that idea.
Well, unfortunately, it happens to be Michael this time.
And I'm sure he's sitting there in the traffic going, oh, yeah. My God, Michael Olson has stolen my radio show, but Mom's there. She'll protect
you're
us.
You're doing very well, Michael. But you started to tell us about the lawsuit in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is this first lawsuit that these two gentlemen are starting?
Well, you know, I have to use a little qualifier here because I don't know all of the legal particulars, and probably nobody does. The lawyers who have got, I've seen some of the legal papers, and they're a stack about 6 feet high. And
you mean we won't know exactly what it is?
Well, I understand that
if we don't know what they're doing to us.
I understand. Here's my understanding. There are a number of lawsuits. And the first one that's going to go before a judge in Sacramento is a lawsuit against the rodeo being brought by some outfit in Oakland that is somehow connected to CAFA, and by some mechanism that I do not know. I do not understand.
That sounds so dishonest and frivolous. What is...
Well, I think that with respect to all of these lawsuits, the frivolity doesn't really matter. What matters is that the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds is vulnerable. It does not have any support from the state of California anymore. It has no outside income. It must live on its own income. So if the fairgrounds can be kept in court and forced to pay all of these legal fees to defend itself. And furthermore...
To defend itself against what?
Against the frivolous lawsuits, which is the... They're suing for failing to pick up horse poop in a timely manner, or there's a light bulb out of place someplace. And I'm sure that when it gets right down to it, there's nobody in the listening audience that has successfully gone through life without breaking the laws. I bet even you have broken a law, Miss Kay's Whirling. Now she's got a smile on her face.
I did it unknowingly.
Well, we're all like that. Sure.
Yeah.
We all have broken a law. And I'm sure that the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds has broken a law because the CEQA, I'm sure the CEQA Act has so many provisions in it that only God could comply. So we're all vulnerable to the fact that we have broken the law. So what these folks are doing are using these attorneys to nitpick the fairground into defending itself. Now, the fairground will have to pay to defend itself, and if it was found guilty of breaking a law, it will probably then be forced to pay for their attorneys as well, Gary Patton and Jonathan Whitmore. So by continuing to dump these lawsuits against the fairgrounds, these folks of CAFA can in effect take down our fairgrounds, just like hungry wolves chasing down prey in Yellowstone. You just keep running it down until it can't run anymore. And
so
then
what you're saying is that the future looks pretty bleak.
Yeah, the future is uncertain. So the question is, what can we do as a community to protect our fairgrounds? And that's the issue that we'd like to talk about today. And I guess we should talk about it. So what do you think we could do, Kay?
Well, we tried to get an attorney, a young attorney perhaps, who would work for the issue pro bono, and that hasn't happened yet. That might help us.
Well, we have right here, you know, we've been asking for volunteers to join our committee, and we have a whole bunch of people. We have all kinds of people who are willing to join us here.
Good. In what capacity?
In all kinds of different capacities.
Well.
So that's what we're going to do is after the fair is over here, we're going to meet and see if we can't come up with a way of fighting to protect our fairgrounds. But let's turn it over to the audience and ask them, this is your Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. What do you think we can do to protect it from the people that want to take it away from us? What can we do? Is there something we can possibly do? So we're going to go to the phones right now and I can figure out how to do this. Okay. Let's see. I don't have a number here, but Chris, is this you? No. Okay, Matt, you better come in here and help us figure out. Here's Richard. He can help us figure out how to do this.
Oh, you want to take
So what do we have a line here? This line? Okay, Chris, is that you?
Hello?
All right, got you, Chris. Go ahead.
What about having them designated a national historic monument like your station?
Well, I don't think our radio station is designated as a national historic.
I think it is.
It is?
Yes, it is.
I know that at times it's certainly a hysterical monument. We have a lot of that around here, but I wasn't aware of that. But that's certainly a possibility. Would that protect it from lawsuits, frivolous lawsuits? See, I don't know.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
It never occurred to me.
Well, let's put it on the list then.
But
historical site.
Yes.
Tell us what we would do, Chris. What would that mean? What do you think that would mean?
Well, I'm not sure. I just was throwing ideas out there. That would probably protect the land from development, but might not protect it from lawsuits. I don't know.
A lawsuit would mean a change, and anything that is noted as historical, you're right. You have to leave it alone. You can't change it.
You can't change it, right. But I don't know if that would protect it against frivolous lawsuits. See, I don't think that even the CEQA laws, I don't think the fairgrounds, I think it's grandfathered so that it does not have to comply with all of the CEQA lawsuits. That being said, it doesn't stop people from suing the fair because anybody can sue anybody for anything. And as long as you have the money to keep, you know, fueling the lawyers, you can keep suing, right?
Gotta love the lawyers. Hey, thank you much. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for the call, Chris.
Michael, excuse me, you mentioned before that a number of areas that had fairgrounds have given up. And did they just give up on their own because they had no money to take care of the fairgrounds? Or were they sued?
A lot of that is happening, and there are very few fairs left in the country like our fair. In fact, I think our Santa Cruz County Fair is among the best in the United States. Not because we have bigger rides,
yes,
or more food or more animals or more this or more that, but I think it's because that our Santa Cruz County Fair does a better job of capturing the character of our community. And because it's so representative of our community, when we, the citizens of this community, go there, we feel so much at home.
Yes.
Now, I don't know why I got so angry with respect to these neighbors of the Santa Cruz County Fair, except I think I realized that last week when we did the broadcast from the 9/11 remembrance ceremony at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds, there at the racetrack, all of the first defenders or first responders from Santa Cruz County joined together, all of the ambulances and the fire trucks and the police cars, and it was a meeting of the first responders and the citizens, but it was really brought us together. But during the course of that, somebody, I think it was Rob Morani, made mention of the fact that 10 years ago, at the September 11th, 2001, was the opening day of the Santa Cruz County Fair.
Yes.
And when all of that happened, they couldn't open the fair.
Why?
Well, the state wouldn't let them. Everything was shut down. Everybody shut everything down.
Why?
Because we were afraid. And they wouldn't let them open the fair. So the fair board petitioned the governor of California, please let us open the fair. And they were allowed to open the fair. And the next day, we went out to the fair, and we were all frightened because of what happened to us on 9/11, how they destroyed those twin towers in New York City and how they attacked us and attacked our vulnerability. And we were all frightened. We all were scared. We didn't know what was going to happen to us.
So?
And we went out to the Santa Cruz County Fair, and we were together. It was a place where we could come together and look each other in the eye and say, we're going to make it. We're going to be okay. And it was probably the most healing experience I can remember. And that Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds has really been that for us in a number of situations, not the least of which was the earthquake, the Loma Prieta earthquake, when everything fell apart and the fairground became a place where we could go and hunker down and survive for a while. And the fires that consume our hills, we can bring our animals down to the fairground. So that fairground really is more than just a fairground. It's more than a place to be entertained. It's our place. It's the community's place. It's a place for us to survive. And so I think that's really why I got so frustrated and so angry at the threat to our place by a few disgruntled neighbors.
Yes. My question still is, are neighboring fairgrounds from the other communities,
okay. They
capitulated and they don't exist anymore.
Well, they're having problems.
But what did they do that we don't want to do?
Well, they lost track of their community, and their community lost track.
So they didn't care that they were closing down?
Well, I think it right now in Madera County, the Lowe's Corporation is trying to take over 30 acres of the Madera County Fairground to put in a big shopping center.
Well, that's for private development.
It's private development.
We don't want that to happen.
We don't want that to happen. So why is it necessary for Madera County to allow this to happen? Well, they lost track of the localness of their community.
They didn't have any money either.
They didn't have any money. And I think they're directly related.
Okay? Yes.
I think that when a community loses its sense of a self, when it becomes just another tract for some corporation owned in New York, and there's no localness to the community, like there is so much here in Santa Cruz, that's what we have, is that we have an identity. We have something. We are us. But when you don't have that community, what do you make a fair of? All it is an amusement park, and who cares?
That's very nice, and it's very sentimental.
It is sentimental, but it's
Michael,
dollars and cents, too.
But the bottom line is, how can we in our community protect ourselves from what these two people are planning to do, which is somehow take it away from us so that they can develop it into home sites and make money for themselves?
What can we do? Well, Chris says we can develop it into a historical site. Should we see what Sandy has to say?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. Sandy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to the Saturday special. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I appreciate what y'all are doing with this. It's just a classic example of laws with unintended consequences. There isn't anybody here who wants to bash the environment. But nobody ever thought in doing this that it would be used to squash the citizens.
You're absolutely right.
And the thing that I want to know is, why can't we go to Bill Monning, to our legislative delegation? I mean, if the fairgrounds were cut loose by the state, then the state ought to protect them. And they ought to step in and say, you cannot destroy these fairgrounds. They have to be given the right to
exist.
Well, maybe exempt them from CEQA laws. That'll be the easy thing to do.
Well, but you know, that'll come up with something else. They need to say that the fairground has the right to exist and to do what it can to make itself profitable, and that they are exempt from any of these kind of lawsuits. You know, you can't sue the federal government unless they allow you to. So who actually owns the property? Does the state own the property?
Yes, it's the state agricultural district number 14.
Okay.
Then
the state ought to be able to protect it. And I am not let me just say that I get sick with the way the governments in this area are run. But we ought to see if we can't get Monning or some of these politicians to step up to the plate and protect this with some kind of emergency legislation or something to try to stop it.
That's a great idea. It's MZ here. I finally made it, by the way.
Good.
I understand that Rosie has Bill Monning on quite regularly every week or two on the morning show.
Yeah.
Maybe she can put that idea to him and just say, hey, suspend, put out legislation to suspend CEQA laws exempting fairgrounds or something like that.
Or make it even broader than that, that you can't, I mean, if you don't cut them loose, then they ought not have to defend themselves against anything, as far as I'm concerned, to stay in existence as a fairground.
Okay. Hey, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Sandy.
That idea.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, let's see. We have three other callers. We have Doug in Santa Cruz, James in Seaside, Claire in Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. Looks like let's go to James in Seaside here. Let's see if we can bring up James. Okay, that's you, James?
Hey, yes, it is, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing real good. I just saying about this thing with your Seaside. The fairgrounds there.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear your take on this. I guess I'm going to have to wait. James dropped off. It must have been
a
cell phone.
A quick question. I'd like to go back to the previous caller. And would it be possible to pass a law to protect fairgrounds from frivolous lawsuits?
I think they should pass a law to protect everyone from frivolous lawsuits.
Loser pays?
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
That's it.
The way it is in Great Britain, I think,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that where?
Yeah. Ooh, see, if there was a loser pay on this one, I bet the CAFA folks would be running for their hills pretty quickly.
Yeah, maybe. Doug in Santa Cruz, you're on the Saturday special on AM 1080.
Hey, MZ, this is Doug from Santa Cruz. I thought I'd call in and let you guys know that I noticed that every time we have these kind of issues come up, that the people that are directly involved with these issues are auspiciously absent.
Well,
We had the fires in Santa Cruz, the city council was gone. Not one person from the city council made an attempt to come on the radio to defend their.
All right, now wait. Okay, I know what you're saying, and most of the time, what you say is correct. We're gonna cut them some slack and give them the benefit of the doubt today. And I will read an email in just a little bit after the break. I'll bring up my email box and I'll the email that was sent to Rosie and me by Randy Rapass, the West Marine guy, who's sort of the ringleader of this whole thing. Basically, it says that he's looking forward to being on the radio, but with us here to discuss this issue, and appreciates the fact that we invited him. And appreciates and expects that we will be fair and balanced and treat him fairly, which of course we do, everybody. But that he was not expected to be on. He said he can't make it until 11:30, which is just under an hour from now. So if 11:30 comes and goes, then we can start. We can start that line of discussion here, but we're not expecting any participation from the CAFA members until at least then, maybe sooner. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that afterwards. But Doug, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. We appreciate it. Let's go back to James. James, now I can't wait. Do I have to wait anymore to hear what you think?
Michael, you know, I don't know why you got rid of me a few minutes ago.
I didn't. You just dropped off. I thought it was your cell phone dropping off, no?
No, this is not my cell phone.
Okay.
But, you know, I haven't heard anybody say anything about the poor people in the area there. There are a lot of people that can't take their family out as a family to anything during the whole year, and they look forward to the, you know, the special events that they have there.
Good point.
The prices, they can take their whole family, and once the family get there, they can afford for the family to do stuff. And you get rid of what you got right there, Michael, and these people that's in the same situation I am, don't have a lot of money, can't take their family anywhere so that it'll be a family outing. So somehow we got to put that in us, that we're not losing the fairground, but we're losing a place for outing for poor families as a family to go where they can participate.
But not only that, James, but we're losing a place where the poor families and the well-to-do families and all the families are one family. We all can be together, and we don't have to worry about who's rich and who's poor there. I mean, we can all enjoy it as much as each other. It doesn't, you don't have to be rich and you don't have to be poor.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So anyhow, I think there's going to be a resolution to this. I just have a feeling in my bones that there's going to be a positive resolution to this, and hopefully we can KSCO can be a catalyst to make.
Why
that
do you
happen.
Think there's going to be a favorable resolution? Give us some hope and change here.
Okay. I don't. I've never met Mr. Rapace.
I have.
Okay. From my understanding of him, he's a nice gentleman. He's not a bad person.
He is a nice gentleman. And he's done a lot for area agriculture, too. He's a very good man.
Yeah. And so, and the other person, Max Kelly, was here on the program. That we did. You did the first Saturday special that brought this whole topic to the when I was out somewhere.
Is that my fault?
No. But 2 or 3 weeks after that, right, we did a follow up, and I invited these villains, you know, to come to the radio. We didn't actually invite Randy, but I invited Max Kelly, and he happily came. Mm-hmm. And so right away, that told me that they're not. That at least he's not a bad person, because a lot of these people, like the previous caller, they run and hide and they mm-hmm. they're not accountable or anything. Max showed up. He brought another member of CAFA with him, a gentleman whose name I forget. Nice man also. They both came to the radio station. They spent time. They addressed people's concerns, and they just said, listen, we're neighbors, and this isn't what we bargained for. When we moved there,
Wait, Michael.
I'm not defending. You right. asked me a question. I'm answering. I'm doing my best to answer your question. Okay. So they said this. Yes, we knew that there was a fair there when we moved, but the fair was very different from what the fair is becoming. And all we want is as area neighbors is to have an input, have some sort of input into increased use. Now that didn't sound so horribly unreasonable to me. What is horrible and dastardly, I believe, is what they're doing with the with the lawsuits and being disingenuous and dishonest about it. Why don't they just come right out and say you guys are too, which is what they did say, but I guess from their perspective, what Max told me privately off the air, and I think he even mentioned it on the air, is that the fair board members have turned a cold shoulder to him. They said, well, you know, hey, we're here. We're a fair. Fairs make noise. Fairs make poop. And learn to live with it.
Well, I think the difference is that the fair has no choice now but to find ways to survive.
I think these guys do not like... I don't think they want to go through life being villainized much more. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, of course not. Of course they don't. They're good people.
Yeah.
They're absolutely good people. Randy is an incredibly fine man.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's done a lot for our community, and I'm sure Max Kelly is as well.
I spoke with Max Kelly yesterday, and he told me he would love to come on the radio, but he has a meeting that time that happens to be a CAFA meeting. And Randy has got that meeting, too. Mm-hmm. Randy sent me an email saying he's going to try to break free from a prior engagement. He didn't tell me it was that, but that's what
Excuse
it is.
Excuse me. Yeah. Maybe you two are being snookered.
Oh.
They're continuing with their frivolous lawsuits, mm-hmm. aren't
well,
they?
Well, we don't know that. I mean, I suppose yeah. they are. Maybe that's what the meeting is about.
So what's so good about that?
Hey, wait a minute, you guys. Just wait a minute. We don't know for sure that as we speak, they are not saying, hey, this isn't worth it. Let's just put a stop to this and come to the table and try to work out our differences without the threat of a lawsuit. That's what I would do if I was a neighbor. Michael, what would you do if you were a neighbor? Ma, what would you do if you were a neighbor? And they and the fair didn't want to talk to you, said, we don't need to talk to you. And I don't know whether the fair did this.
I'll tell you
exactly
what I would do.
What?
I would buy a pair of Bose noise-canceling headsets.
What would you do, Ma?
I don't know what I would do, but first
just put
of
yourself
all,
in
I
their shoes.
Out.
That's all. I don't think there are developers who want to buy the fair and develop it or put a commercial. I don't believe that.
I think they want to get control of it. I think they want to take control of the decision making process.
Yes,
the fair.
But what exists right now, this moment, as I was driving in, Michael, you said that there are frivolous lawsuits. In Sacramento.
Now they're taking the case to Sac. You have to. They're so, adjudicating this.
What's so great about them for doing something so devious and rotten?
Well, I agree that part is devious and rotten. Well, but I'm making a prediction that they're going to call off the dogs. I'm making that prediction right now, and I hope I'm right.
Nothing
right?
To do with that.
Yeah.
You
okay.
can make it, but you can't stop fighting now.
Of course not. All right, James, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ignore you. So.
Michael, I meant to make too.
What'd you say?
I don't like your new equipment.
Oh, okay.
We're working on it, James.
I guess I don't like it either because it's cutting you in and out. And you say you're not on a cell phone, right?
No, I'm not. I'm on a house phone.
Okay. All right. We're going to have to get our ace engineer, Richard B. Luther II, to look into this here. I've heard some sort of strange things with the new system, but I also hear some telephone calls, by and large, generally speaking, they're much clearer than the old system. So, but I agree with this call. It's not very good.
But this is not good at all. I have a hard time understanding what you're saying.
Okay.
Well, we do too, and we're here.
Yeah. Anyhow, James, thank you very much. Have you said what you wanted to say, or is there something else? Because I want to make sure you get to say.
Hang up now.
Okay. Thank you so much. That was our good friend James in Seaside. Now we're going to go to, let's see. Oh, my God. Claire in Scotts Valley has been waiting 19 minutes and 39 seconds. Go ahead, Claire.
I certainly have been waiting. I have a question predicated on the sure fact that I know very little about law. But would it be possible to launch a countersuit based on the fact that they are harassing?
That sounds good.
It sounds wonderful. And if I were a young buck of a lawyer without any cases and I wanted to make my name, by George, I'd grab onto that in a minute. And you could do a class action. You could get all the people who exhibit at the fair, the horse
every resident of Santa Cruz County.
Why not? Sure.
Well, that's how Gary Patton became the Pied Piper way back in 1974.
You think Gary Patton's going to have anything to do with that?
Don't you think? And so you know what I'm talking about.
Claire, I think you might be onto something here.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying about Gary Patton becoming the Pied Piper? In 1974 in Santa Cruz, there was talk about developing the Court of the Seven Seas, I think it was called, at the Lighthouse Field, which is still an undeveloped, place for dogs to poop, here in 2011. When it could have been a wonderful, wonderful development so that Santa Cruz didn't need to continue to be a prosperity-free zone. Here's what Gary did. Back then he was a young attorney, starting to practice, I think, and he decided to write a proposition, local proposition. I think it was called Prop Measure O, I think. about anti-growth. No, it wasn't. It wasn't that. That was later. That was in 1978. In 1974, he authored some local legislation that would designate that particular land as open space forever, and it specifically may not have a convention center or any kind of development anywhere approaching that. And brought it to the electorate, and the electorate jumped on it, Gary Patton became their hero and was elected to the Board of Supervisors, where he remained for 20 years and all that kind of stuff. If someone wanted to, someone who wants to be the next Gary Patton, the next Pied Piper, you know, can get involved with this and help save the fair.
Well, maybe there's an attorney out there who can help us out.
To it instead of a screaming liberal.
Well, not so. I didn't say that. It doesn't matter who it is. We want the fair. If it's a screaming liberal who wants to save the fair, that's fine. Are you going to say no? We're not going to accept your help because you're a screaming liberal?
Well, no, I guess not.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
I really get tired of you know, I'm for protecting the environment. I even hug a tree once in a while. However, the extremes exist only to create the middle. That's my opinion. And I think all this extreme stuff, it just drives me. I've given up on politics. I won't have anything to do with it. I can't do anything about it.
Are you going to stop listening to KSCO?
Oh, no, I won't do that.
Well, you haven't totally given up on politics, because that's just about all we talk about is politics on KSCO.
Oh, listen, but I don't do anything.
Okay. Well, that's the problem. It's people like you who don't do anything.
Do you vote?
Really doing something.
Do you vote, Claire?
Oh, I told you.
See, here I'm viciously attacking you. I don't mean to do that, Claire. Of course, I'm just having a little bit of fun.
I am not victimized. It's perfectly all right.
Okay, great. Thanks for calling the Saturday special. Appreciate it.
And do try to work on that. See if you can find yourself a young buck who wants to do that.
Well, we tried. Oh, it's time for a break, Michael says. Yeah, I hope we have lots of commercials. He must know. He sells them all. Okay. So, thank you, Claire. Rick, take it away.
Calling all trivia buffs and literacy supporters. The third annual Trivia Challenge will take place at the Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium on September 23rd from 6:30 to 10 p.m. with Dale Julin from KSBW Television as the master of ceremonies. For an evening of food, drinks, raffle prizes, and rousing trivia competition, all proceeds benefit the literacy program of Santa Cruz County. To learn more, register a team, or purchase a spectator ticket, visit sctriviachallenge.org or call 831-427-5000.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangerl. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangerl family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regula's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
My talk, when you can argue.
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
Okay, welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. MZ and MO here with KZ. And, of course, the pilot in command is Rick O'Shea and his orchestra. Go ahead, Michael. You're going to do a live read spot
live
for
read
a wonderful publication.
Well, we're going to invite everybody down here to KSCO today, or at least this morning, to meet a very famous, world-famous author, Kay Zwirling. She has her book for KSCO, I'm Kay Zwirling, a collection of commentaries from the past who knows how long?
12 years.
Lots of fun things to read and a very fun person to meet. So come down today, meet Kay Zwirling, get a signed copy of for KSCO. I'm Kay Zwirling.
And it's only $25.
And it's only
$25. All of that $25, none of that gets siphoned off into Leechville. You know, it, every bit of that $25, it keep every book that's purchased keeps KSCO on the air $25 longer. Right. And that's the honest to God truth.
So come down and meet Kay and get a signed copy of her book.
Until 12 noon.
And support, it helps support the broadcast, as Alex Jones would say. Yeah. In fact, it supports the whole radio station, the whole radio network, everything. Yeah, it's terrific. So, yeah, come on down. I've got my own personally signed copy from my mom. You should get yours, too. It's warm and fuzzy, and you'll feel much better owning one. We're at 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz.
Can't miss us.
Yeah, and if you come on down, how long are you going to be here, Ma? Till 12 or 1 or something like that? How long do you think?
Say about till 12 or 12:30.
Okay. Well, if someone, okay, good. Maybe even 1 o'clock, which gives you a good 2 hours from now. But don't wait. Come on down right now. Okay. We're talking about, the future of the Santa Cruz County Fair, which is still going on today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If you haven't made it out, you definitely should go. If you don't, you're
going to miss out.
You're going to miss out on something really.
And you may miss out forever because we may lose the Santa Cruz County Fair. You think that it's not going to happen? It could happen.
You think it could be happening? So it could. You think it's possible for this to be the last county fair? Think it's possible?
Or one of the last? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They could take. See, they could take through these lawsuits. The CAFA organization could take control of the decision-making process of the fair, and only allow those events that they want to be allowed there.
Which might not be enough
and
to
what,
keep it going.
If you're living a watermelon tosser, what kind of from the fair? What kind of events would you like to have? Perhaps a
so
convention
funny.
Of lapidopterists or something like that.
Every time you said a watermelon toss, I chuckled. Because it's really hard to throw a watermelon. That means it's really close.
It's really close. Uh-huh. I mean, it is really close. It is a watermelon tosser, so, two or three.
Yeah. So I need to ask Max about it. I hope Max calls in. I don't think they're going to come because they're having their CAFA meeting right now as we speak in Watsonville. And I believe that they're going to come to their senses and do the right thing at that meeting and decide that they should call off the CAFA suit. And if they do that, then and come on the radio here,
we'll make a hero.
We'll be heroes.
Exactly. They'll become heroes instead of pricks.
Yes.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
But here's a picture of an aerial picture.
You can see now the KSCO of the future, KSCO.com media
we
center
can show
of the
people
of future.
Stuff.
Yeah, this is going to be television just like anything else. And you'll be able to watch us on the web.
That's just
right around the corner, folks, here. I mean, that's what we're working toward. And we're putting the word out to young, brilliant people who know how to do that kind of stuff at the local schools and stuff. We're putting the word out that we want interns here at KSCO to help us get to where we need to be and want to be and so forth. 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to join the program. looks like our good friend Happy Ben in Salinas is
Michael
calling. Hi, Happy Ben.
Michael?
Yes.
This is the great Ben.
The great Ben.
I don't know about Happy, but Michael, you do know how the eminent domain laws have been used on the East Coast to take people's private property for projects they consider to be in the public good, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And here, close to home, like in our family here.
This is where I'm going. I will agree with my otherwise friend that I don't often agree with James and Seaside, in that we need a local public venue for the family venue that's affordable and accessible. There has to be a place for the community at large to recreate. Now, I call that the public good, but just like eminent domain can take private property, why cannot the eminent domain laws protect their venue because it does serve the greater good? The community.
What a great idea. I never thought of that.
because it directly contradicts the crime that's overrunning many of our cities, and Salinas is no stranger. Just like you couldn't do away with the fairgrounds or the Monterey County Fairgrounds or the fairgrounds where they're having the jazz thing this weekend over there, because that's for the public good. Because it's the public good, just like we don't want water fluoridated. The people vote and they don't want it done, and the state still says you have to do it. That's BS.
They can't do that.
No, it's because we the people, we are the eminent domain. The Constitution protects, it's called quality of issues. There has to be a venue for these young 4-H people to go out and see whether it's actually they like to feed a chicken or feed a lamb or humanely treat a baby cow that it doesn't have to be put on a box and raised as a veal calf, never getting to even walk on the grass for one day with its own mother. How unnatural is that? How sinful to eat such a creature and treat them that way? But under eminent domain laws, we should be able to protect that fair venue, the California Rodeo Grounds, the Monterey County Jazz, the fair up in Seaside going on right now, and as well as the county fair that goes on down by King City somewhere. I mean, these venues are in the public good and under eminent domain laws should be protected. There's no shortage of hungry lawyers out there. They need to get on, and if it takes a referendum in the using the vote and up to protest as citizens, it is the general welfare of we the people. It's
you know, and you're right, and all lawyers are hungry, even busy ones.
Thank
they
you
all
very
want
much.
More and more and more and more money.
Well, I mean,
off the backs of everybody else.
Well, I mean, but we, even though we are the little sheep, we're not the multi-billionaires. We outnumber the wealthy. The 80% of America is not multi-millionaire billionaires. Most people are struggling to get by. If we, what can you say about a community that cannot protect its schools and its teachers and its fair venues? The venues where we
I'll
go
tell
to
you,
show off.
It's no damn good. That's
yeah,
what,
we need to show off
you
the
can
best
say
of
about
our,
it.
Yeah, we need to show off the best of our best, the pride of, how about a phrase called the pride of community? If that's not protectable by eminent domain, then there is no community. These standards must be met, and I'll shut up and let other people get on. But thank you, Michael, for the venue. And we don't agree 100%, but, man, I'm by your side on this one.
Thank you, Ben. That was the great Ben and Selena. Here's the great Peter in Aptos. Hey, Peter, you're on the air on KSCO.
Good morning, Michael, and good morning, Michael.
Hey there.
Good morning, Kay.
Good morning.
I come from this from an event background, and we've spoken off the air.
Oh, yeah, you're that great Peter.
Yeah, you know, it neighbors are stakeholders in the event. Whether the event wants them to be or not, they need to treat them like stakeholders, no different than the community that attends the fair. And it is a very good fair. I've run events that were much bigger than the fair and had two huge stages in the middle of a neighborhood. And you've got to go out and get ahead of everything and meet with the neighbors. And none of this apparently, I don't think, was done. And if it wasn't for you folks who are doing a wonderful, heroic job of advocating for the fair, I'm not sure they'd have much PR thrust. Now, the other thing, too, these organizations are typically good old boy organizations. Obviously, there were not people on the fair board who knew how to find a law firm because they didn't do it. They could have probably pulled someone out of San Francisco with clout in Sacramento to do it pro bono. But to my knowledge, nobody tried. They were worried about expenses. That's no different than getting a sponsor. A law firm is a sponsor, and that's not that difficult to do. The other thing, too, is that they did not do PR work early on to get out in front of this. They could have done a much better job.
They who? They who?
They, the board of directors and the management of the fair.
I gotcha.
You know, you guys took this upon yourself, and I really, really respect you for that. But you know, they missed the boat. And it's time for these.
We've got to talk about this more next hour here. We're creeping up to the top of the hour. Peter, I got your phone number here on the caller ID, but please send another email, mz@ksco.com, just to order, because I got it somewhere, but I won't have to look.
Yeah, I appreciate the call.
Okay, I want to talk to you about events, okay?
But they need to get savvy people on that board.
Absolutely. Appreciate your calls. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 o'clock. Back after Fox News.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. Federal safety investigators now on the scene of last evening's air show tragedy in Reno, Nevada. A World War II vintage plane crashing into the box seats below the grandstand during a race at an annual air show. The 74-year-old pilot and at least two others dead, scores of others injured. Spectator David Wilson taking video of the whole thing.
Well, I don't believe this. It just happened so fast. It's a split-second event. So, you know, you think, is this it? Am I going to die? That's what you first think, but I thought, I better get out of the way and start running.
It remains unclear what caused veteran pilot and Hollywood stuntman 74-year-old Jimmy Leeward to lose control of the P-51 Mustang he was flying, and it may never be known because the plane was decimated in the crash. Former Illinois Senator Charles Percy has died. He was a moderate Republican, a self-described, quote, conservative on money issues, but a liberal on people issues. Percy served three terms starting in 1966, and he came to be a critic of the Vietnam War, stating his reason why. At a 1967 interview with William F. Buckley.
Having us as a model to the world, as West Berlin is a model in Western Europe, I think is a more effective way to fight communism than secondarily trying to police the world and fight in every jungle and take on every communist band or guerrilla force wherever it may be.
Percy also sponsored the Senate resolution calling for a special prosecutor during the Watergate scandal. Percy's family let it be known 2.5 years ago that he was suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Chuck Percy was 91 years old. Two other deaths of note today. Eleanor Mondale, the daughter of former Vice President Walter Mondale, has died at her Minnesota home of brain cancer. She carved out a career in radio as an entertainment reporter. She was 51. And Kara Kennedy, the oldest daughter of the late Senator Ted Kennedy, has died after a battle with cancer, and she, too, was 51. The Libyan rebels have been driven out of one strategic town by Muammar Gaddafi loyalists, but they've also been fighting directly with those loyalists in Gaddafi's hometown. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Stay connected to Fox News Radio for your favorite talk shows, newscasts on the hour and half hour, and the podcasts that take you a step deeper inside of Fox News. Don't miss a single minute of Your World with Neil Cavuto daily by subscribing to the Daily Podcast.
I'm Neil Cavuto.
Get news and insight on Wall Street and other market activities, and get a wrap-up of the business news of the day.
Don't tell me about federal programs that stick to their budget. They don't.
It's Cavuto when you want it and where you want it. Subscribe now by going to foxnewsradio.com and click on the podcast button for Your World with Neil Cavuto. And check out other Fox News Radio podcasts, including John Gibson's My Word.
Hi, I'm John Gibson. You can get My Word every day for no holds barred opinion on the big stories of the day. Gibson, when and where you want at foxnewsradio.com. Just click on the podcast button.
Still a waiting game in Iran, where those two imprisoned Americans are reportedly going to be set free, but Iran's president and judiciary have made a political football out of the impending release. There's been no concrete action yet. The ad industry is jumping into the controversy over new cigarette warning labels.
Two advertising industry groups are joining big tobacco companies, opposing new graphic cigarette warning labels, like ones that show the sewn-up corpse of a smoker. The groups say the labels infringe on commercial speech and could lead to even more government regulation if unchallenged. The labels, said to appear on packs starting next year, are the latest salvo in the government's anti-smoking campaign, like this. Earlier this week, the Centers for Disease Control said lung cancer rates are falling, especially among women. Health officials credit lower smoking rates in Western states. Sal Chiangrasso, Fox News Radio.
The U.S. ambassador to Pakistan is now saying publicly what had already been suggested in private, that this week's attack on the U.S. embassy and NATO headquarters in Kabul is attributed to the Haqqani insurgent network in Pakistan, and that that group has links to the Pakistani government. The NASCAR Sprint Cup chase begins in a new city this year, as well as a new track, the Chicagoland Speedway.
The Sprint Cup Championship kicks off this year in a new city, and five-time champion Jimmy Johnson likes the change of venue.
I've been close to victory there a few times. We've always run well and led laps there.
Brad Keselowski hopes to kick off the chase with a win, but really...
I wish we had another 2 months to prepare for it.
And Kyle Busch likes Chicago because...
It's been a really good track for us in the trucks and nationwide, and, you know, we got to get our cup stuff a little bit better there.
Rounding out the top 12. 12, Kyle's brother Kurt Busch, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Denny Hamlin, Tony Stewart, Ryan Newman, Carl Edwards, Matt Kenseth, Jeff Gordon, and Kevin Harvick. Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Marjorie Tashina, Fox News Radio.
House Speaker John Boehner facing a primary challenge in his Ohio district next year, and it's from the right. Tea Party activist David Lewis saying he's challenging Boehner on the right to life issue. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
It's 11:05 on this Saturday, September 17th. I'm Rick O'Shea on KSCO with a traffic and weather update. North 101 at Los Lobos Road. Do watch out for a two-car accident. CHP is on scene. Earlier today, one lane of Highway 1 northbound was closed just after Rio Del Mar for road work and tree trimming. That opened up an hour ago. Speeds are took a while to recover, but everything's looking fine there now. So if you were in it, stop earlier. Want to know if you can get through now? You can. KSCO weather today, we're seeing sun outside KSCO studios. We can expect highs today in the upper 60s and low 70s. Afternoon winds up to 5 to 10 miles per hour from the southeast. Cloudy again tonight, sunny again tomorrow afternoon. A little bit warmer than today. It's 62 degrees outside KSCO studios here in Santa Cruz. It's 11:06 as we continue with hour two of the Saturday special with MZ.
And we have Stephen Aptos joining in Santa Cruz and Richard N. Watsonville. Richard N. Watsonville waiting to go on the air here. It won't be too much longer. We just have to officially start hour number two. And then we have to hear Kay's commentary, the famous one that calls the Kaffa people. Oh, no? No, you don't want me to say? Okay. They'll just have to wait and hear. Okay. Now, let's see. Computer A. I think we have the right setup to play this.
I'm right. There it is.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
The question of the hour is, will the Kaffa representatives, or even one of them, call and participate in this program today?
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
This is a story about two men who like money very much. One of them is wealthy, very wealthy, because his business owns many store branches around the entire United States. I believe this is a story of incredible greed. I also believe these two buddies hired two local attorneys to look into issues regarding our fairgrounds, which naturally make noise during all hours of the day and night. I believe these two men have an evil agenda. I further believe they instructed their attorneys to make life legally miserable for our fairground personnel to the extent that the fairgrounds would be forced to close down, like frivolous lawsuits. Evidently, state fairgrounds no longer receive government funds. I also believe these rich skunks would immediately purchase the fairground land and develop it into home sites to make a financial killing for themselves. I believe they don't care. The thousands of us would be denied the pleasures of all the wonderful activities of our own fairgrounds. Money does evil things to some people. One wonders how much is ever enough. Now, if all of the above is indeed true, we at KSCO are committed to exposing these two scoundrels and their attorneys so that their evil plans will never come to fruition. For KSCO, this is Case Whirling.
Okay, Now, hopefully the evil skunks will show up here during the program. And you know, Isn't that sort of a little extreme? I mean, calling those kinds of names here? I mean, what do you think? Ma, are you there? Hey, Ma.
Yes?
Don't you think that's a little extreme?
No.
I mean, calling them skunks?
That's the way I feel about people who want to do something like they're planning to do. It's wrong.
Okay, good. All righty. Let's see. It's 11:09. I think it is. Is it 11:09? Here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. If you want to give us a call and weigh in on the fare situation, we invite you to do so. Phone number is 479-1080. 479-1080. The area code is 831. So if you're outside the area code, you'll have to punch in 831 in your cell phone or whatever you're using to call us. And then you'll get connected to us and you'll get to go on the air. Just like our good friend Steve in Aptos is about to do. Hey, Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, who, Michael?
Hey, it's that Steve. Hi, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you've had some great calls there. And when you first came on, I like what you said about you've talked to these guys, and they sound like good guys.
Yeah, they sound reasonable.
You know, it's like a lot of things the last 20 years. I was in business, and I'd hear about things, and I could get going with rumor and stuff, but if I went and actually met the people and talked to them, we could work out our differences. And it's like our government, you know, we have some big differences going on. You get this party or that party going. And but the main thing is truth and honesty and working in communication. And I really feel, I like what you said. At the beginning, these guys didn't seem like people were listening to the needs of the neighbors. And what if we had, what if they got, say, the neighbors within a mile radius got a representative, and the fair board was receptive to this, to where they let a representative from the neighbors be a member on the fair board, where they could give input.
Neat idea.
And you mentioned the fair board is basically, you know, receptive to the needs of the people. And here are some of the needs of the people aren't being listened to or met. And at least I think along with some of these other ideas, you know, they're what you said, they're good people. And I'm sure they want to see 4-H and FFA and the tractor parade and everything else. The fair is such a great thing of learning by doing. And it's historical, and the big family. But I like the idea, too, where you have a representative on the fair board for input of the neighbors in the community.
I think that sounds like a very reasonable, good idea.
Pleasure Pizza Steve was always a brilliant dude.
Michael, you help me get there. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Steve. Great to hear from you. Okay, take care and say hey to the family, okay? That was Steve in Aptos. 479-1080 is the phone number if you want to join the program here. Our next caller will be our good friend Richard N. Watsonville, who's in the phone book under that name, right, Richard N. Watsonville?
Yes, I am, Michael. You're in the phone book, too, aren't you?
Well, not as Richard N. Watsonville.
No, I guess you could call me if you wanted to get a hold of you, though. I don't know, but listen.
No, don't give him my phone number. Don't do that.
No.
I don't want I don't want my personal phone number, you know, divulged. Because I would never have any peace in my life, ever, if my phone number.
Like as if you have some right now, huh?
A little bit. Not much.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm wondering if all this isn't down to pensions at the fairgrounds, Michael.
Never thought of that. Why would that be?
Because we've got a lot of people that have retired.
Ma.
What'd Mom say there?
Mom is whispering to me. What do you want to say, Ma?
I'll leave. Okay.
You want to leave?
Is that all right?
Not leave the radio station. No. What about people who are coming to buy your book?
I'll stay in the office.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, Kay will be in the front office for those of you who want to come and meet her. Okay, and if for those of you who have always wanted to meet Kay, I mean, this doesn't happen very often. you know, but you can come to the radio station and buy one of her books and she'll inscribe it for you with your own personal name. And,
yeah.
you know, in her autograph. And that alone is worth, you know, 100 times the cost of the book, which is only $25, all of which goes to support your favorite radio station. But go ahead, Richard.
Well, not only that, she is a walk and talk in community public service. Gay's willingness.
That's exactly right. Thank you for saying
that. Yeah, I truly believe that. But listen, earlier when you what got me on this thing about pensions is we've gone through a lot of managers out at the fairgrounds, and these people are getting big pensions. And
are you sure of that? When you say a lot of managers, he's only been in place for like a year or two.
Yeah,
and before that, it was John Kagebein for the last 50
years. No. It was Jordan. And then John Kagebein. And John Kagebein replaced Gilbert Mello. Gil Mello was back there before John. And
you know all these people have these pensions, huh?
Well, not only that, I know these people because I was going to be the fair manager, but Mello told me not to do it because it's too damn boring out there. But that's all right. That's all right. I listened to Bill Monning talking to Rosie on Tuesdays, but I can hear the same thing on frequency on Mondays, Michael. The same thing, almost verbatim, between Rosie and Bill Monning. And if we got a state fair out here, and Bill Monning is more concerned about talking about running for a state office than the state fair.
Oh, well, that's what all politicians are interested in. There's nothing they're more interested in than getting and keeping power.
Are we standing up for a bunch of state employees?
I don't
and
know.
Is this whole thing all about state and not county? They can't make enough money during this fair to last them all year? I would think that the car show and the flea market would be gravy on top of what they make at the fair, but evidently not, Michael, because of all these pensions. And it's very strange that Kappa schedules their meetings around the Saturday special. I wonder how many other groups do that.
I don't know.
I hope they all do it. We'll learn something that way.
All right.
Thank you, bud.
Wait a minute, Richard. May I ask you a personal question?
Yes, sir.
I noticed that you have an anonymous caller ID, as does Joanne in Santa Cruz, and as does Martha in Watsonville, our next callers. Now, you know, the system, we're phasing in our state-of-the-art system here, and during this week, you know, the system is going to automatically reject anonymous phone calls. In other words,
KGO does that now.
Yeah.
You can't call in unless you ID yourself.
Yeah. Because you know who we are, and we're not allowed to know who you are. Doesn't cut it with MZ. Doesn't cut it with KSCO.
That's okay. I'll connect my service so that you can...
No, you don't need to do that. You can do it on an individual basis, I think, by dialing *67 or stars in something, where it just means that just that next phone call that you're going to make will display the caller ID. Okay.
Oh, so you're not going to have it set up so it'll just hang up on people.
Well, I don't know how the system is going to treat it. They might hear just a the number you have called is not in service. I think that's what's going to happen, but I'm not positive.
I think we should ration out time, Mike. And when you start hearing a bell, a little beep, you know you only got 5 seconds left, and then you're gone.
Well, that's another topic altogether that we can discuss. But you're okay with that. You don't mind giving your caller revealing your caller ID to the talk radio station when you call.
No, I could care less.
Good. Okay.
But the other person,
as soon as I said that, one of the people, I forgot the name, hung up. But Martha is still on the line here, so
yeah,
maybe she doesn't mind.
I don't really care, and I would love to see you guys put cameras in so I can see that station.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can see everything that's going
on
in that station. I would love to see.
Now, I know I'm going to make some enemies with this statement, and I don't care. I don't give a bleep. It has to be a level playing field. If you know who I am, I have to know who you are.
Yeah, but you should not be allowed to bring people, other people down there that we don't know who they are.
That's exactly right.
Knowing who we are.
Right.
So it's got to be fair all the way around.
All the way around. I'm totally with you, Richard M. Watsonville.
You should have cameras in that studio. You should have them outside the studio.
We are going to have cameras in so many places. We're going to have cameras in the living rooms of our listening audience.
Those towers are used as a navigational point.
Uh-huh.
There should be cameras on top of them towers. We should be able to see out in a 360-degree view all around the Monterey Bay.
Now, that's
the top
a great
of the
idea, Richard N. Watsonville. We have to look into that. I have to get Richard B. Luther II, our great
all
engineer,
right.
To work on that right now so we can have a remote control with a joystick, HD, high-definition camera on top of our center tower. Or maybe our eastern tower. Maybe our western tower. Maybe all of them.
Back to the fair.
Okay.
You know Steve Stagnaro.
I do.
Now, isn't it sad to have to see guys like Steve Stagnaro have to get out in front of the fair grounds and tell the Hell's Angels they can't come in? Do you remember when he had to do that?
No.
He was on the board of directors. He was not the fair manager.
Uh-huh.
Fair manager never does this. This, I never could understand why. Well, we would have problems like that with the Grateful Dead concert and the Willie Nelson concert. It was always the board of directors would have to get out and explain everything, not the management.
Uh-huh.
Is that because it's owned and run by the state or what? Or is this the county fair?
Well, it's supposed to be. It is the county fair, and it's not run by the state and doesn't even get any support from the state now.
Well, the state pulled all the money out, and now they're having to mooch around with flea markets and all this other stuff to make it. Is that what's going on? Or?
Well, they have to find other sources of revenue, and they have done that, and they are doing that.
Then we should do what Monterey County is doing. Everything that goes on in Monterey County goes to a nonprofit. Everything. Doesn't matter whether it's fairgrounds or the fly-in or whatever we're doing. We're not doing much over here like Monterey County does.
Yeah.
We don't even have a fishing derby over here.
Yeah, we don't even have a Santa Cruz jazz festival like Monterey does.
We cannot even have a clamming day where we go clamming. You know, it's crazy.
This is an outrage. We've got to fix that.
We can't even build a fire down in front of the boardwalk on our own beach, can we?
Is that true? It used to be true. I mean, it used to be okay.
We used to be able to go clamming down there, too. We used to be able to do a lot of things on our beach, and now we can't even be caught down there after dark.
Yep.
Not
it's,
good.
It's, we're losing our freedoms one by one. Listen, Richard N. Watsonville, as always, we definitely appreciate your call. You have a wonderful rest of the day.
Take care, buddy.
Okay, good. Now, Martha N. Watsonville is up next. And Loretta, oh, my gosh, Loretta, the fair director. But, Martha, you've been waiting a long time, and you're anonymous. And so,
hello.
Hi.
The discussion you just had just very, very previously with this gentleman, it's because of this liberal city council. We can't do all these things, and they don't want family things going on. They want to run their you-know-what agenda.
Yes.
So, anyway, with that said, you say you want to identify your caller, but we do give our name, and what is so relevant about our telephone number?
Well, it's just we want to have a level playing field. It sounds to me like you're not going to be calling if you're going to have to release caller ID to us.
Well, I would not want you to ever give it out.
I wouldn't do that.
But what's the purpose?
What's the reason for us wanting to have it?
Yeah, you have our name.
Oh, very, very simple. Every once in a while, we get a super intelligent caller. And one of the producers of the programs might want to get in touch with that intelligent caller, you know. So it's nice to be able to have that. Another and every once in a while, someone says something dastardly on the air, and we want to know what their phone number is so we can go get them.
I can understand that.
Okay, so that's two reasons right there.
Oh, okay. I have really not more to say than I could not surpass your mother. She said it all.
And okay.
I just call in to agree with her 150%. She is so basic, so true, so right, so honest. She said it all. So thank you.
Okay, Martha, thank you for calling. Here's Loretta, the fair director, or a fair director? A fair director. Loretta.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, my God. You're so loud here. Good, good.
Well, it's I'm outside the fairgrounds talking, and I just listened to the gentleman that was on a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And he does not have his facts straight whatsoever. And he was in, Yvette Jordan was, you know, in here and there, back and forth, and, you know, as a manager.
John Kagebine has been the manager, you know, from a year or two back, you know, back 18 or 20 years, right?
Well, off and on. Now, if he wants a sequence of the managers, right now we have Mike Becky. He's been here for exactly a year and a half.
Yes.
Before that was John Kagebein. John Kagebein was a CEO as a volunteer, worked one full year with absolutely not one dime of pay. Then the next year he worked, the second year he worked at half pay. And then before that was Yvette Jordan. And then before that, John Kagebein came out of retirement to help us again because there was a few things that needed to get addressed and whatever. And thank God for John. He came back for 2 years or more, 4 years possibly. And then after John retired again, then Judy, not a director, but a manager came in. Then we had Judy. And then before that, we had a lady named Demetra. And we only had her about a year and a half. And then she left. Before that, John Kay was the CEO. So poor John, he bounces in and bounces out according to how things have gone. And if he feels that we need help, he comes back in again. And then before that was Gil Mello. And then before that, and then Ron Hernicke. Now, where was you at, Ron, in between? Yeah, but before that, was you after? What year here? 87 through 90 was Ron Hernicke. So the guy, I don't know how he came with Gil Mello, was second or third in command. The guy skipped about 20 years. And we are a county fair, but we are ran by the state of California. So the guy needs to have his facts straight before Richard calls in. And for his information, we as a fair board do not get one single solitary penny. We don't get a stipend. We get nothing.
And so, certainly no pensions, right?
We don't get we get nothing. We do this on a volunteer basis. We don't get any money. We don't get no stipend. We don't get a dime to come to. We sure as heck don't get paid for all this stress we've had this last year. So anyway, right now I got to run the diaper derby. I'm just getting through. Get to the Rogers house. We devote probably 16 hours a day of our life during the fair.
Now, you guys are great. Thanks for taking the time to call in.
So right now I've got to fly, but I just want to get that off of my chest. So Mr. Richard needs to, do a little bit of research before he comes on and starts talking when he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right. Okay. Great.
Thanks, have a good time and come on out to the fair, okay?
Hey, I've been there, and a year will not go by where I don't visit the fair at least once, but I gotta leave town afterwards. Thank you,
thank you.
Greta,
okay.
Appreciate it. All right, bye. This is good. We have, our next caller is going to be particularly of interest to everybody because it is none other than Randy Rapace. Randy, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Oh, it's great to be here.
What's the status of things? I was saying, I don't know if you got to hear the program. You probably didn't because you guys were having a meeting, right?
That's a Roger.
Yeah, and I was saying it's my hope that during the meeting you're going to, decide to, extend a white flag or just do something here that will say that we're calling off the lawsuit and we're going to sit down and meet and see if we can work out these things without using the court system. Is there any chance that might have happened or might happen?
Let me just give you a little bit of background because there's been a lot of what I call poison spread over the last several months about a number of people who are involved with CAFA's intentions.
Okay.
I just want to give you a little of my background, personal background. We did dog training at the fairgrounds 20 years ago. My son played Little League there. I was involved in Businessman's Calf Tying there probably 15 years ago. I actually won first place. We have donated to both the Ag History Project, funding the building of a building, which is named after some good friends of ours, the Snyders, who are very active at the fairgrounds. In addition, we've helped with some funding for the Rogers House out there at the fairgrounds. I attend the fair whenever I'm in town. I was there last night, yesterday, as a matter of fact. And although I'm not an avid race fan, I have been to a couple races. So, to think that either I or anybody involved with CAFA is interested in shutting down the fair, either directly or indirectly, is totally inaccurate. What we are trying to do is have the fair be what I would call a better neighbors by basically simply reducing excessive noise. having a man, and that those are the main issues. We fully respect the fact that the fair is financially stressed, and they're going to lose some money from the state next year. And we appreciate the need to increase events, and we fully support that. All we'd like to do is have a master plan and have the community be able to give some input that is listened to. So that's an introduction.
Okay. Now, presumably, you've put that out to the directors, the board of directors of the fair, yes?
Before
there was this lawsuit.
As you, I'm sure, know, over the last year, I only joined CAFA a few months ago, but over the last year, the members of CAFA have met, been to many, probably all the board meetings, and expressed their concern about public input being listened to about new events and existing events. And the perception, and I want to use the word perception, I want to emphasize that word, is that generally speaking, some of their comments have been listened to, but many, many, many of them have not been. And that's what forced the lawsuit in the first place. Obviously, it takes time and financial resources from all parties, us as well as those guys, as the fair, to have a lawsuit, which we obviously, nobody wants to have a lawsuit unless there's no other alternative. And we were forced to force the lawsuit, which we did, and we were hoping that that would get the fair's attention that we are serious and we're not going to give up on this issue, that we just want community input listened to. And so far it hasn't, actually. We haven't, as you may or may not know, there was a meeting with our county supervisor, Greg Caput, and many of the CAFA members, and Greg offered to be the mediator and with the fair board, and Greg, from what I understand, to the fair director, and the fair director said he wasn't interested in discussing things. So all we have to do is talk. Talking doesn't take any money at all, and but we have been trying to talk, and that's what forced us to file a lawsuit in the first time, file it, and we're still trying to talk. And I've been out of town, as you know, for the last couple of months. Now that I'm back, I'm going to make another effort at doing it. We'll have to talk and resolve this issue. It's absolutely resolvable. It's ridiculous to come to this level.
Wow. Well, that's great. So is there any kind of a gesture of goodwill? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's not necessary. What are you saying? If you're saying that you've made repeated attempts to talk and you've been given the cold shoulder each time. It's like,
that's absolutely the truth. And that is not, of course, what the public believes, because that's not the information that's come out in, many different media locations. There has been, we put a, if you look at our website, the CAFA website, which has been out for before the lawsuit was filed, if you look at the letter that CAFA wrote before the lawsuit was filed to...
What is it, CAFA.org? Because we want people to look at it. We want them to be able to find it. Someone will call you or someone will call us.
Somebody will tell us. I don't want to give you the bad information. I think I know what it is, but I don't want to... I think it's, I won't give you the bad information. Anyway, if you read everything we put out, including a press release, when we filed a lawsuit, we had a meeting, and only a couple showed up, press showed up to the meeting. And I made a statement, which I read, and we gave a press release, and nowhere does it talk about shutting down anything. And it basically repeats what I just, well, not everything I said, but the general gist of what I just said.
Okay, so what about all right? So if you were to get a phone call from the the fair director or one of the directors and say, "Okay, we're going to take you up on it. We're going to talk," then what happens? I mean, do you stop the lawsuit or?
Well, first of all, the lawsuit. The only time the expenses are incurred really is when the lawyers are involved. What we would do is obviously form a small committee from our side, and hopefully they would have a few people that were open-minded and would sit down with us, and we'd talk about the issues. And they're all solvable issues. This group is extremely reasonable. I've told many people, I have two very good friends who run cars out there. I have another good friend or two that sponsor cars out there. I'm not personally a big race fan, but I'm certainly not against you know, a good community event like that.
Yeah, and if and even if you were, I mean, who would be against an event like that? But even if you were, I mean, would you try to stop it? Would you try to, you know, prevent other people who like those kinds of events from being able
nobody
to
at CAFA is trying to stop, and they've said that consistently from the very beginning. And of course, things get rumors get spread. I've heard unbelievable rumors. And, I mean, I won't even get into any unless somebody wants to talk about some. But anyway.
And we're going to invite people. We've got 25 minutes left. And I think it would be great if people want to call 479-1080. And we can conference them in with you. Because, you know, it's great that you're here. And it sounds like you're willing to do that. So let's do it. Let's take advantage of technology. 479-1080. Randy Rapace is a major member of the CAFA group. We'd like to hear from you. If you want to talk to Randy, now is the time. 479-1080 in area 831. Okay, go ahead, Randy. Didn't mean to interrupt.
First of all, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to correct you on the pronunciation of my name. Repass, it's like pass and repass.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay, repass. Okay.
That's it.
Thanks.
It.
Okay. Sorry.
So, anyway, we are very frustrated that we haven't been able to. I did talk to some people. I went to the fair yesterday and had a good conversation with a few people there. And one of the board members, and I won't mention their name, and I think there is possibility for us making some progress. But today...
That's great. I really hope that happens. So
today,
does everybody.
Anyway, our opinion is that we've been stonewalled to a certain extent. Now, I will also say that the fair has done some things to help out with the noise. And we appreciate that. As an example, the board directed that the manager come up with a noise policy three times in the past, this year, and it hasn't been. We don't have one yet. So basically, what we want is a noise policy, a reasonable one. It does not reasonable means that it's so, you can still have the races, and we still can have some noise coming from the fair, but just not excessive noise.
Who's going to decide whether it's excessive? I mean, specify it in decibels and agreement or something?
Yeah. Yes, that's how you do it. Uh-huh. But you have to sit down and talk about it. And, we made a proposal. CAFA made a proposal. And in all honesty, it was on the low end. And we expected that would be the case. I mean, we did that on purpose.
Uh-huh.
And they never came back saying, hey, look, that's ridiculous, that's too low, or whatever they wanted to say, and let's talk about it.
It's like a negotiation where maybe they were insulted that it was just so ridiculous or something, but whatever.
It's costing money to engage lawyers on their part as well as our part, and that is we were forced to this lawsuit. And the people involved in CAFA are thoughtful, intelligent. I'm not saying anybody else's. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying these people are not unreasonable. I mean, I've been with unreasonable people. These people are not unreasonable, and they need to be heard.
I've met two other members here at the station a couple months back, and they seem to be very reasonable people. And the fact that they didn't hide and accepted our invitation, and the fact that you did too, earns you points in my book, actually, because people who are bad people, they don't respond, or they just make excuses and say, no, I'm not going to participate, or no, thank you, or whatever. So I think it's great that you're...
One of the really sad things is that there's been so much vilification of myself and other people involved, and mistruth spread. I know part of the reason may be to intentionally scare people away, and I think it's happened to a certain extent. But we're dedicated to this cause. All the people at CAFA are, and we're going to do our best to have a low cost, no cost solution to this issue.
Okay, great. Let's see. We've got a couple of callers who want to go on the air with you here, and I'll give out the phone number one more time: 479-1080 in area 831. It's the Saturday special. With MZ and CAFA member Randy Repass, And we're going to be on the air for another 20, 21 minutes or so. So give us a call if you want to talk to Randy. Let me make sure we can get on here, get everybody connected. Our first caller will be Rick in Scotts Valley. Rick, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on with MZ and Randy.
Hey, MZ.
Okay, I don't hear you. Rick, talk again, please.
Hello, MZ.
Now I hear you. Okay.
Okay.
Now
I
don't know what's wrong with the phone.
Hold on a second.
Maybe are you on a headset?
Are you there?
Yeah. Now I hear you.
Okay, it's my fault. Okay, I just have one suggestion and then a comment. If that's the attitude of these gentlemen and it's true, and if they haven't been duped by the higher echelon that are in the, I guess in command, because I don't think these gentlemen's intents are those of the people in command, I would say pull the lawsuit in good faith. You want people to respond to you? That's the best way. Then have the, let's start over. Come on, guys, this thing got out of control. Let's start over.
Yeah, everybody's watching this time. So
yeah.
I don't know if that would be, you know, a bad idea, Randy. I mean, you could always, if they refuse to come to the table, you could always reinstate the lawsuit, I guess. I mean, that would be a great gesture of good faith. So, but
then the comment that I would like to make, and it comes from, you know, the great Ben and from Richard and all these people who have opposing political views, but they zero in on the family values. And family values is what's under attack here. That's all it is. And somewhere along the line, if somebody wanted to do this and they had family values, they'd go canvass the neighborhood and put a referendum on the ballot that, you know, that we have to have public elections for the fair board. Because the governor, I was in Scotts Valley, and the gentleman that talked there said the governor appointed him. So let's go and have a fair election for the county people that run the county fair, and then we'll have representation in a republic instead of this democracy attitude of I can sue, and that's all they want to do is get this to the Supreme Court because they know how our Supreme Court falls in this state on every issue. And if you want your way and you got enough money, you'll get it to the Supreme Court, and the whatever district it goes to and they manipulate it into will favor in on their side and the fair one.
Randy, what do you think of Rick's suggestion?
I think we have worked very hard on our side to get folks at the fair leadership to talk to us and actually, just so you know, you may not know this. I think it was discussed at a previous Saturday special. There were three public meetings scheduled by the fair to take community input that were canceled by the fair at the last minute. They did have, in all fairness, they did have two public meetings before the three, the next three that were scheduled. Those three were canceled last minute. This is to get public input by the fair manager. And the second of all...
Yeah, we did hear that.
There was an ad hoc committee put together. You may or may not know about this also. An ad hoc committee put together of the board, by the board, of two board members and some people at CAFA last spring to try to work through this, which I think is what you guys are suggesting, Rick is suggesting in Scotts Valley. And they met, and the ad hoc committee went back to the board, and the board said, you know, forget it. We're not going to continue this discussion. So, you know... call it what you want to call it, but we feel that we've been not being listened to, and that is absolutely not appropriate.
Yeah, being dissed.
MZ, you know one thing, and if that's the case, then I think that we all, as citizens of Santa Cruz County, should gang together, get a lawyer, and file a class action lawsuit against the Board of Supervisors of Santa Cruz County for not listening to us. Because that's all this is a bunch of spoiled people who couldn't get their way because they weren't in charge, and they're going to circumvent the system by filing a lawsuit and locking everything up.
Well, wait a minute.
Every time.
Rick, what about what Randy has said? I like to put myself in other people's shoes all the time. You know, and just try to see it from their perspective, okay? Randy's a neighbor. Max is a neighbor. I don't know how many other people there are in the CAFA organization. But apparently they feel like they have been dissed. It's not that the fair, the noise level and the disturbance to the surrounding area has increased dramatically.
Okay, I'll stifle that right now. I built the snack bar at the fairgrounds at the racetrack in the 1970s. You couldn't stand out there without your ears ringing for hours afterwards. The sound has been mitigated. That's a bunch of baloney over the years. It isn't even close to being as loud as it was in the 70s. So the fair people had all of that before. They've done what they've done. They used to run open 8 V8s out there, MZ, with straight pipes, headers, off the engines. And you couldn't hear yourself think. Okay? That's the difference. They are there only a decade ago. I'm talking about 30 or 40 years ago, the way that fairground has done to survive. So I think that a good faith issue, a lawsuit, will put them in truth lane. Because then all he says, if they pull the lawsuit, the truth becomes theirs. If they leave the lawsuit there, then they are trying to circumvent the system and not go out and canvass the neighborhood. And I think that's what the fair should do. They should go out and canvass the neighborhood and get signatures of every house that's within a 5-mile radius of that place and see what each person thinks and if they'll sign a petition. So those are my thoughts. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you for calling the Saturday special. There goes Rick in Scotts Valley. Let's see who's up next. I guess it would be Bruce in Santa Cruz. I want to take people who've been waiting the longest. Bruce, you're on the air with MZ and Randy.
Hi, MZ. Of course, I got a question for Randy. Obviously, putting this lawsuit forward, even, you know, acting on it at all, jeopardizes this county fair for so many hundreds of thousands of local residents, children, you name it. I just find it so hard to believe that someone who would buy some property near the fairground would not understand the potential for the noise. And by even entertaining the lawsuit and the idea of jeopardizing something that has been around twice our lifetime is just so beyond the call over a noise issue on some property you moved into and you obviously know you're going to have issues with.
Yeah, well, I think I know what I would do. I mean, I do know what I would do, but anybody wants to ask me, I'll tell them. But thanks very much for your call, Bruce. Let's go to our next caller. That will be Fred in Royal Oaks. Fred, welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special with Randy Repass and MZ.
Well, thank you. I've got a lot to say about the place out there. I've spent most of my life out there. My mother raised her in 61 and 62. My grandparents, the Steers, have put all their stuff out there, left all their, and my cousin Bill and his family have been out there in the FFA. I spent 20 years at the racetrack myself. I have a car there now. It's quieter there than it's ever been. Excuse me. You know, I've got a lifetime of dedication there at that racetrack and at the fairgrounds working there. So the things I have to say is there's a lot of nonsense that happens at the fairgrounds. There's a lot of things that I agree with the neighbors. Out of control, people partying there after hours, spinning donuts in the parking lot, flipping over their cars out there. That stuff has happened out there. I've seen it. I've not been a part of it, but I've watched it.
What's the point?
The point is that the neighbors have a legitimate complaint about the noise. But I don't believe it's from the racetrack. I believe it's from people just, they don't care. They go out there with their horns blaring when they leave the racetrack. They go out there spinning donuts after the races. All that stuff is not being policed. They do not take care of that out there. They do not go out there and slap their hands, call the police, or any of that stuff. They just let it go on. And it's been going on for years. I agree with the neighbors on that point. But the noise thing, they've got farming going around there for 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. There's berry picking going on at night, spraying going on, helicopter. There's all kinds of things happening around there. They can't complain about that.
All right.
But what I'm saying is they have a legitimate complaint about the fairgrounds not policing itself.
Okay.
So the Snyders, Albert and Elzo, are your grandparents?
Yeah, you know, that's my grandfather's brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Carl Snyder was my grandfather.
Got it.
Bill Albright is the FFA guy that's been there, for years. King of Mine and I are good friends. I got a number 4 car modified out there. At 55 years old, I'm out there giving her a whirl.
Great.
You know, I haven't raced since 35 years ago in a figure 8 race out there. So, you know, it's a part of me. The track, I worked for John Prentice. I worked for Rick Farron. I was a NASCAR official. My mother raced her, like I say, in 61 and 62 in a claimer division, $99 claimer division. Muriel Snyder, that was my mother. So I've been a big part of that place. It's a part of me. It's a part of my family.
Right.
Oh,
Okay, Randy wants to say something here, and his phone isn't as strong as ours here. So go ahead, Randy.
So do you know about the Albert and Elzura Snyder building at the Ag History Project out there?
Oh yeah. You know, I control the lights that turn on at the Speedway for 10 years out there. I go down there all the time, look at their stuff they put there. Yes. I knew quite well about that.
Did you know that we're the funders of that building?
Pardon me?
Did you know that we paid for the majority of that building, my wife and I?
Yes. Yeah, well, we're probably related.
My only point is,
I understand that. I understand that. But
okay.
I understand you're a part of it too. I'm on the same page with you.
Okay.
You know, he's right. They just need to freaking police the place. They have security out there.
Okay, great. Fred, we got so many other people. You made your point. We appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Randy, I'm happy that you brought that up.
Thanks, Fred.
So, let's see. Next call will be Mickey in Prunedale. Let's bring Mickey on here. Mickey, you're on the air.
Well, that was much better transition than the old system.
Yeah.
You know, I respect Mr. Repass's and everyone else's rights as a neighbor to have the neighborhood that they like. But as a person who doesn't necessarily have these means and who has had some experience with issues like that, a few years ago I lived in Prunedale with Highway 101 as my front yard, and I lived there for 12 years, and over the period of time the noise level did grow and actually became an issue sometimes with the traffic backing up with me even getting to my own home because of, you know, backups and whatnot. And so my solution was, well, you know, it's not really reasonable of me to say that there is a problem when it's just something that's inevitable. And so I moved. And, you know, Mr. Repass, with your, you know, I think what Rick and Scott's Valley said, that, you know, if you drop the lawsuit, you build a lot of goodwill with people. We're not denying that you have the right to have your, a neighborhood that you would like. But the lawsuit threatens the fairgrounds, so it just would seem that there would be another way to accomplish what you want that would build a lot more goodwill, even in spite of your accomplishments and your donations and your generosity in the past. That's what people are looking at right now. It's like, oh my God, he's threatening the fairgrounds.
Well,
so
you know,
my
comment would be that what's threatening the fairgrounds is the leadership's non-interest in talking about these issues. That's what's threatening their grounds. That's why we sued in the first place.
Right, but you brought it to the public eye, and so you have the option of doing the noble thing and saying, well, okay, you know, we got the attention that we wanted, and you have the option of reinstigating it if you want.
And like I said, everybody's watching now, Randy. Everybody,
exactly.
We're watching, and we'll see that if they're going to turn the cold shoulder to you guys again, we're going on them. You know,
I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that. And I'm not sure how much you were aware of that before, but those are facts. I mean, that's what's going on.
Yeah, and I was listening to the program when Mr. Kelly was on the last time. And, you know, people were kind of making the same suggestion. Dude, why are you attacking? And he was making these statements. We just want these things. We're trying to get some redress, and they're not paying attention. But again, there was, you know,
see, now you guys are seen as villains. And
exactly.
I think if you were to just say, just call off the dogs for a while, you wouldn't have to do it for very long. It would be real. You'd find out real fast whether they're gonna take you seriously or not. Like,
well,
I said, everybody's watching.
Some of the ideas that people have been bringing forward. You know, elect the board. You know, bring more policing about. These kinds of things can only help without you looking like a complete villain. I mean, my initial viewpoint was, I like to boil things down. It's like, you're either stupid because you moved there and the noise level was there and you didn't know. You're greedy because you want to, maybe this may work out to your, the ultimate conclusion of a lawsuit would work out to your benefit. Or you're selfish because you can't have what you want, the whole county has to pay for it. And my sister is was an animal control officer for Monterey County, and she wanted to get this said in there about what a valuable asset the fairgrounds are, because the Monterey County Animal Control officers helped with animal evacuations during the Summit fires, the Trabing fires, a bunch of the other different fires that went on that hellacious time. And if they hadn't had the fairgrounds to evacuate to, who knows what happened to the animal population over there.
All right, Mickey, I want to thank you for your call. We got a bunch of other people we wanted to see.
Bye-bye.
We can get to all of them. Here's George in Piscinas. George, welcome to the Saturday special with MZ and Randy. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Listen, I'm calling from San Benito, and I've listened to you for 20 years from Santa Clara and San Benito camps, but I'm not a local. I'm not involved in this. I don't know the personalities. I'll tell you, from listening today, I'm not absolutely convinced of the sincerity of your guest. But I have a suggestion that I think might even up the sides. And why doesn't the fairgrounds start condemnation proceedings against the properties within, you know, a certain radius? And I think you might get a responsible response from this group, instead of, well, we're going to take the fairgrounds hostage and then we just want to talk, which is what it sounds like to me. If you were real lucky, it would accelerate the financing on all their mortgages.
So what you're saying is, you know, sort of do the same thing, right?
Well,
do the same
you
thing
know,
back or what?
These guys are standing with a flamethrower saying, we just want to talk. And I think you need to have your own weapons.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Even on the sides. And they'd get serious real quickly, I believe, if they understood all the implications.
Oh, you mean serious about dropping the suit?
Yeah, if their properties were under a condemnation, see, any political subdivision of the state can initiate condemnation proceedings, and the Fair District certainly is a political subdivision of the state of California.
Uh-huh.
Why,
you know, a tit for a tat? Wouldn't it be better to try to just, you know, come to the table and work things out?
Well,
that's what
If I was convinced of this guy's sincerity, if he dropped a lawsuit and you were on even ground, but it doesn't sound to me like that's what's going on here. It sounds to
me
like
we don't need to drop the lawsuit for the fair to indicate interest in discussing this.
Randy, just as a notion, a gesture of good faith. Okay, did I say something wrong?
Michael, excuse me. We need a gesture of good faith from the fair. Is what we need. That's why the lawsuit was filed. I mean, you know, our time and money is valuable to us also. If we weren't serious about this issue and really concerned about it, for the only reasons that are put out there, you know, I guess it's okay for people to accuse me and other people of alternative motives. If anybody knows me or has known me for a long period of time, they wouldn't accuse me of that.
Yeah.
I say it like it is, and that's just how it is.
And I believe that, actually, Randy. All I'm saying, okay, fine. Your point is you don't have to – am I saying something wrong that if you drop the lawsuit and they don't play ball with you, they still shine you on, that you can't reinstate the lawsuit? I mean, is that wrong, or is there some –
I'm sure we could, but I don't have any reasonable expectation that they would be willing to talk more after we drop the lawsuit than they are now.
Okay.
I mean, there's
all right. And the whole thing is sort of a silly stalemate because, you know, really, it doesn't matter whether you drop the lawsuit or not. It would just be nice since you guys are being vilified. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but you know what? We're being improperly vilified.
Okay.
I just want to make the point again that Greg Caput, our county supervisor from our end, tried to be a mediator on this deal, met with the CAFA folks, and then went to the fair, and the fairground, the fair leadership declined sitting down around the table and talking.
Okay.
And so apparently they wanted.
If that's true, that's really bad, and that was
a
tactical error, big time,
on
the part of the fair. So and I can understand how you would react the way you do. So let's ask them again. Come to the table whether the suit is dropped or not. If you come to the table and work it out, then the suit will definitely be dropped, right?
Absolutely. And furthermore, when they come to the table, there's no legal expenses. So there's no ongoing legal expenses. So that's in effect. That's the same as dropping the suit.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you. We're going into the news here, but I want to get Gary's phone call. Gary, you're on the air on KSCO with Randy.
Yeah, Michael. They said they gave an unreasonable demand to the fair. He started off and admitted that. And then they continue. They start off to sue, and it's part of this foundation gaggle with the Packards and all the alphabet organizations that feel they need to control everything in the community. And the hardest noise is they can do like every other citizen in Santa Cruz, call the sheriff and use the existing laws. I think it's outrageous, and I think it's a plan to extend their control.
Okay. All righty. Thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Our last call is going to be Cliff in Aromas. Cliff, you're on the air with Randy Repass and MZ.
Good afternoon, Randy. This is Cliff.
Hey, Cliff.
How's it going? I just to preface this, I'm one of the racers out there that Randy considers a friend, and I hope he does after this phone call. Randy, we had a conversation. You called me from the Mediterranean, and at that time I told you I would try to get you and John Prentice together to talk about things. I've been patiently waiting for your call.
Huh. Well, I got back a week and a half ago.
And I know you're a busy man. I'm still willing to put you and John together if I can to talk about what you would like to see happen with the races and see if he can meet those requirements or your wishes.
I'm available, and it's not for races. There are other...
I understand that.
Cliff and Randy, I think that's a great way to end the program. I think that's fantastic. I hope you guys do get together, and I hope there's some...
Give me a call.
I hope something great comes of it, okay? And if you
thank
want to,
you.
Randy, thank you, stand-up guy, for calling in and being part of the program here. You're always welcome, and KSCO wants to do all it can to help solve this thing and put big smiles on everybody's faces.
Okay, Michael, I'm gonna have a conversation after this with you on that very topic.
Okay.
Give me a call, Randy.
Great.
Thanks, Cliff. I'll do it.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank you, Rick. That's it for the show game. We will be broadcast this program tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or on demand at ksco.com in the podcast section. Let's see here. I think we have to come over to Computer A so that I can do this, say, and end the show officially.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. We join Fox News in progress.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
The Republican Speaker of the House, John Boehner, revealing a bit of personality after his economic speech this week.
The question to the Speaker of the House, are you having fun?
Hell no, I'm not having any fun. Somebody show me where the fun is.
In a Q&A session with the Economic Club of Washington, Boehner said his relations with President Obama are cordial and fine, but...
Sometimes the conversations that we have would be like two groups of people from two different planets.
Boehner says he didn't run for office and become speaker for the status, but out of a sense of mission.
But I like to accomplish my mission And get the hell out of here.
In Washington, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
State Treasury staffers in New Jersey have uncovered a windfall for the state by scouring through old bank accounts. They found $26 million, mostly money left over from several bond issues, some dating back to the 1960s. College and club rowing teams making a splash in Milwaukee, Wisconsin this afternoon.
Over 121 long, narrow boats called shells will go into the Menominee River in Milwaukee and glide over to the Milwaukee River. It's a single-leg, three-mile race that draws crews from clubs and schools such as Marquette, Northwestern, and Purdue. Organizer Gary Bruno says you don't have to be in a boat to enjoy the race.
There's places all the way along the Riverwalk at restaurants, at Harley-Davidson. One exciting place is the turn from the Menominee to the Milwaukee because they have to make more than a 90-degree turn.
Zach Savage is with the Marquette Rowing Club.
Yeah, we've been on the water for just short of a month now, and the Milwaukee's always a big race for us because it's a home field advantage.
More than 600 rowers are competing in today's race in Milwaukee. Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
There's a pumpkin shortage in the Northeast as autumn approaches. Hurricane Irene destroyed many fields, and now farmers in upstate New York say they're getting calls from other growers who want to buy their crops. They've tapped the first keg in Munich, Germany, where the 178th folk festival known as Oktoberfest is getting underway. 6 million visitors expected over the next 17 days. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
This is AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's 12:05 on this Saturday, September 17th. I'm Rick O'Shea with an update on your Central Coast roadways. Had some big problems earlier in the day on Highway 1 after a lane was shut down, but things are moving much better now. No problems there on Highway 1 North, other than the standard run-of-the-mill Saturday commute. KSCO weather's playing ball. We're already getting plenty of sunshine across the Central Coast already. Temperatures this afternoon will be in the upper 60s and low 70s. Southeast winds between 5 and 10 miles per hour. We do expect low clouds and fog to push into the Central Coast tonight. Temperatures will be in the 40s and 50s. More sun in the forecast again tomorrow afternoon. It's 69 degrees outside KSCO studios here in Santa Cruz. 12:06 and it's time for Perspectives on KSCO.